Welcome, everyone, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne, and as we usually do, let's take a few moments to come together to that quiet, still place within. Finding the willingness within our hearts, our willingness to give everything over to the Holy Spirit, and the willingness to look at everything with the Holy Spirit. And bringing that willingness with you as we take a few mindful breaths and as we come together to our perception of this time and place. All right, so we are picking up, we're sort of in the middle of the section. If you have the Sparkle Edition, it's page 208. It's the very last paragraph on the bottom of the page. It begins with, "Miracles are merely the sign." If you have the original edition, it is page 175, and that's paragraph 15 in chapter 9. Again, "Miracles are merely the sign" is how the sentence begins. And if you have the Foundation for Inner Peace Edition, it's page 169, paragraph 6, sentence number 3. So it actually starts mid-paragraph. All right. And the section we've been reading is Atonement as a Lesson in Sharing. In the FIP, it's called the Holy Spirit's Plan of Forgiveness. So just to quickly recap, Atonement as a Lesson in Sharing, a way of thinking about the atonement or the undoing of fear. This is a lesson in sharing everything with the Holy Spirit. All right. "Miracles are merely the sign of your willingness to follow the Holy Spirit's plan of salvation in recognition of the fact that you do not know what it is. His work is not your function. And unless you accept this, you cannot learn what your function is. The confusion of functions is so typical of the ego that you should be quite familiar with it by now. The ego believes that all functions belong to it, even though it has no idea what they are. This is more than mere confusion. It is a particularly dangerous combination of grandiosity and confusion, which makes it likely that the ego will attack anyone and anything for no reason at all. This is exactly what the ego does. It is totally unpredictable in its responses because it has no idea of what it perceives." So I'll pause there. The very first sentence of this paragraph, "Miracles are merely the sign of your willingness to follow the Holy Spirit's plan of salvation in recognition of the fact that you do not know what it is," this to me ties into what we just finished with last week, where the sentence before that and the paragraph right before that is refers to, again, the teaching that when miracles that miracles are natural, and when they do not occur, something has gone wrong. So our willingness to follow the Holy Spirit, our willingness to turn everything to the Holy Spirit, is when those miracles can happen, because we're allowing them to by our turning to the Holy Spirit. So when they happen, that's a sign that we are definitely in that place of willingness to just keep turning, to keep turning within. So I'm wondering what comes up for other folks in this first paragraph here. Anything stand out to you?
It just seems like that's a lot of trust, you know.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
It takes a lot of trust to remembering to do that, mm-hmm. also.
And that taking trust ties into what it says later in this paragraph, where it says that the ego believes that all functions belong to it. So we trust. Who do we actually, you know, if it feels hard to trust, or it feels like it's, you know, a lot to trust the Holy Spirit, that's a reflection of where we usually put our trust, which could be in our small self. And so we don't have that trust built up yet necessarily, that there's actually a higher part of our mind that we can give place that trust in. So that made me think of that. I'm glad you said that, Paula, because that's a reflection to me of this belief that that the ego believes that all functions belong to it.
Boy, that's really cool when you know, to look at it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Deidre, were you going to add?
Yeah, I was just going to add, when I'm in full trust of the Holy Spirit, when I'm fully trusting, that's when I feel at peace. When I'm not trusting, that's when I'm not at peace.
It says somewhere in the Course that when you trust in only yourself, you have every reason to be, you know, there's a reason then to be fearful. And so that just came up for me when you said that, because that indicator, you know, if there's fear there, it's obvious then, you know, if we look at it that way, that we're certainly not trusting in the Holy Spirit. We're only looking to our small self.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Anybody else have anything come up in this paragraph?
Well, I think that's this line. Wait a minute. Holy Spirit's plan of salvation, in recognition of the fact that you do not know what it is.
Mm.
Miracles are merely a sign of your willingness to follow the Holy Spirit's plan of salvation, in recognition of the fact that you... for me, the big problem comes in when I think I do know what it is.
Right.
You know, and I think I know. And I think underneath it all is really that fear that... of what is it? It's controlling. It's wanting control everything.
Right. We want it to turn out the way that we want it to turn out.
This, just talking before about the parking situation at work. For years, we weren't able to park in front of the building. I work in front of the building, and it's so nice to park there, get out of the car, and go in the building.
Uh-huh.
And in the last couple of years, that's actually happened, and it's just lovely, especially in this bad weather and cold and all. Well, last week, we get an email that the night shift people they leave at 2 o'clock in the morning, and they want everybody to exit the building at the same time, and they want them to leave through the main lobby, which is where the people who work in the front of the building, like me, park. So we can no longer park there because the night shift people have to use it. So now there's all of these blank parking spaces out in front of the building when we arrive that we can't use because...
Oh, wow.
I mean, it is so upside down crazy because, and the thing, they were afraid that these people who work at night are going to fall and hurt themselves. Well, what about us now that we're going to be walking a distance into, so it's the ego has really been going a little wacky with this week. And, you know, it's that wanting to, I'm right about this. And I have been, when it first happened, I was so furious.
Uh-huh.
And then I realized, oh, wait a minute. I believe that my happiness depends on this.
Mm.
So that helped to really calm it all down. But now the thought of going back in there tomorrow, especially if there's snow and not being able to park close and having to trek, just makes me so mad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and... I see. I really am going in there with this bad attitude, and I need to turn. I think the fear is that, well, all right, I'll do that tomorrow morning, but then I'll forget again.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it's always this wanting to control it. So
You know, I'm
this is so good for me tonight.
And I'm so glad that you're raising this, too, because you're hitting on... it really is a moment-to-moment process. So, you know, if we get into a good headspace about it, or, you know, we feel an alignment about it, but then it keeps coming up again, it's because, you know, it's still another opportunity to look at it with the Holy Spirit. And you're hitting on something that was in one of the lessons the other day about the ego's plan of salvation. I think the lesson was only God's plan for salvation will work. And
yeah,
it talks about in the lesson how the ego's plan of salvation is, if fill in the blank, if this were different, if that person were different, then I'd be happy, then I'd be saved. And here it is again. It's another form of the ego's plan of salvation popping up, just giving you that perfect opportunity to witness, like for the ego to have a witness for itself, you know, like something to like a landing place, like a hook. And so that's all it is. It's just, you know, if this were different, then I'd be okay, you know, then
yep,
I'd have that salvation. And so it's a beautiful opportunity to just look at what's coming up, look at that with spirit.
And it's always about being in the moment.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Not, you know, doing this mind-wandering, mind-traveling, thinking about the future next week.
Right.
You know,
right,
and wanting to
right,
control the outcome of everything. So it really, for me, is an ongoing.
Paula,
you're absolutely right.
Yeah, and just when I think I've got it.
Paula,
yes, Bob?
How many times does the Course tell you, and then each day you go through life, that says the world is insane?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, we get so used to it. Like, you're just picking one thing out of, like, this parking thing, but think of all the other things, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But this one is, I mean, a lot of it, I automatically turn over to the Holy Spirit, you know, because we're really being trained to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's that, you know.
Like, I live in the,
that
you know,
hook.
You know where I live in this condo thing. I live in an adult community, which means there's about half the people here are off. They don't work, so there's a lot of free time. So there's all these committees, and people are always coming up with rules. And it's so tricky because, like, you know, they put a rule out. There'll be nothing allowed on the railings of the balcony, and they meant the flower boxes because they might fall on somebody's head, but of course they're over lawn. But in any case, and then all of a sudden Memorial Day comes up and people are hanging flags on the railing. Well, now a flag isn't going to fall and kill anyone, but now they've got this rule they have to enforce. You know, so I mean, and then goes on.
And the first rule is obey all the rules.
You know, right. And I keep saying, you know, I'm on one of the committees, and the last time I was there, I kept saying, remember, if you make it a rule, you have to enforce it.
That's,
you know,
so perfect. That makes me think, too, in the Course how it says that a jailer isn't free. You know, if you're a jailer, you're,
right,
you're a prisoner, you're not free either. And so if you're making rules, if you're setting how things need to be, you have to then enforce them. And where is the freedom in that?
Yeah.
It's like a closed circuit cycle again.
And we just cannot govern all human behavior with rules. There's just not enough ways to cover it all and guarantee sanity.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know?
That's right. Yeah.
Well, actually, just to add to what you're saying, anybody who follows Nuke Sanchez, she talks about how in her experience with the Holy Spirit and actually writing the books that she's written and being able to communicate with her partner who's transitioned, she talks a lot about how the rules of the world, it's actually backwards to heaven. So the world, the rules that we think exist here on earth are often not love based.
Right.
So therefore they don't exist.
Right.
Right?
They're all fear based.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. Right. The flower box is May 4.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And Paula, people could get mugged at night going from the door to their car. So. It's okay.
Well, there's any number of configurations.
There's a beautiful lesson that I'm sure we're all familiar with, and I don't know the number off the top of my head, but it's I'm under no laws but God's, and it's actually a number of the lessons around that one. 75 is coming to mind. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but it's a beautiful, beautiful lesson.
Well, sorry to interrupt you, Karen. I didn't mean to.
Oh, that's okay. You can go ahead.
The only thing, like I often get, you know, messages from the angels when I'm talking to people, because they're carrying tremendous guilt over certain things, and it's often because they're using the world's laws to judge themselves as right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And the angels and guides are very clear that in terms of from heaven's standpoint, from God's standpoint, those judgments just do not exist. So like God and spirit, the angels, already know exactly why we make every choice and every decision that we do make. And so therefore, there is no reason to hang on to that belief system of right and wrong. It's rather, what lesson do we learn?
Right.
So that's a really powerful way to look at it. And
yeah,
because it removes any guilt,
right,
any fear.
Right, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
No reason for guilt.
There's a line in the Course, if you're not thinking with God, you're not thinking at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that kind of reminds me of what you're saying. So it's really just a whole lot of nothing.
I wanted to share a quick story too with what was coming up, Paula, with what you were sharing just about the whole parking situation and how I've had a lot of success in, I should say, miracles in working with the idea that, you know, this situation, whatever it is, fill in the blank, is coming from my mind. It's coming from my sleeping mind. You know, that's projecting. And to give you a solid, like a concrete example of this, years ago, I had to get some blood work done in a doctor's office. And the nurse, I could easily go into judgment and say she was horrible because she started saying things to me like, oh, it's not, you know, not good that you're having that symptom, honey, and oh, don't you pass out on me, when she was drawing my blood. So what do? I almost pass out because, you know, she's feeding me these fear cues the whole time. So, again, I could have easily, and I definitely, you know, felt anger at the situation, but I then, as a follow-up to that test, ended up getting prescribed more blood work. So, of course, I'm, like, really unhappy about having to go through this again. But with that situation that happened, I was willing to play around with the idea that perhaps she was a witness that I called forth, that my sleeping mind called forth, my split mind called forth to prove to me that fear is real, that I am a body, that, you know, this whole world is real, you know, many things that we can just think of in terms of like what the ego would want us to believe, right? So I was working with this idea that, okay, you know, I'm willing to try on this idea that I called her forth as a witness to my ego. When I had to go for the blood work the second time, although I was still nervous about going through the whole experience, I was like, I really, really, really want to call forth witnesses to love this time. I really do. I genuinely am willing to go there. So, you know, the Holy Spirit was with me driving and getting there, and I walked in the door, and who do I see but one of my college girlfriends, her mom, working right behind the counter. And I was just like, oh, you know, so relieved that I was still so nervous to go. She comes in with me. She ends up, without even me asking her, she's the one that does my blood work. We're chatting, we're fine. I don't pass out. And as I'm leaving, she says, you know, Corinne, it's really funny. She's like, I never work on Mondays. I got called in an hour before you arrived. So there to me was just another example that everything that seems to be happening to us is being called forth from our from the ego, or it's a witness for love, for spirit. And depending on what we're going to see is depending on, you know, what teacher, what voice it is that we're choosing to see with. So I was just thinking with the parking situation, you know, one way of perhaps thinking about that is, you know, if you wanted to sort of try on the same thing, like, you know, okay, I'm willing maybe to try on that this could be coming from the ego as, you know, a possible place to plant itself, and again, just having that willingness to see it differently. And I know you've had such, you've shared such powerful miracles, Paula. I have no doubt.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
That is perfect. That is just perfect, and that is exactly what I will do.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Woo.
You're welcome. Yeah, it was a big.
Yeah, Corinne, what you just shared there also really is reminding me of the lesson in the Course that says your salvation comes from you.
Mm-hmm.
That one.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
really. yeah.
It comes from nothing outside of us. Nothing outside.
So you
it's one
created,
of those nights where. Oh, I'm sorry?
I'm sorry. You created the love that you asked for. So you co-created that with spirit.
I was rather than the ego script, you know, getting played out. I was willing to choose again.
Mm-hmm.
And we literally do. We really do create our own reality with our thinking, because this whole parking thing has been a bugaboo, not only for me but for many people there, and you know. It's not surprising to me that it has played out this way, because there's been a lot of fear behind all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you literally call forth these witnesses.
Mm-hmm. Witnesses for fear or witnesses for love.
Exactly.
Only choice there is.
And Paula, I know you love to walk.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, and now that.
What a beautiful
frame.
I love it.
Oh, that place, that's always in the back of my mind. What are you complaining about? You're a walker. You love to walk.
And have you ever seen the people that really do seem to have trouble walking? I mean, it's so grateful to be able to just walk.
Mm.
Yeah. No, but it is truly an ego defense. It really is. And I am aware of that. And this is so helpful tonight. Thank you.
Yeah, good.
Can I share a little story that I had happen, and I may never have happen again? I have a friend that just celebrated her 100th birthday.
Oh, wow.
And I've never had that happen. And, you know, and I actually found a card that said happy 100th birthday, which I thought was so fun, you know. And it was March 14th on Friday, and about 2 days before, you know, she being 100, she, you know, her heart was getting so slow, they had to rush her to the hospital. It was just and it would really be her time to die. You know, her heart was just slowing down, which is kind of a nice way to go, you know, just mm-hmm. your heart just stops. Not a heart attack or anything, and her son was there, and he just asked her, you know, like, because I've been like writing a will, you know, I'm thinking about living wills, and I'm thinking about when do I want to go, and this and that, and like, I even asked my doctor, I said, well, what do you think of euthanasia? And his answer, you know what his answer was? I think they should stay there. But I'm bummed. Euthanasia. Anyway, so I've been thinking about all this.
It took me a minute.
Yes,
I
know.
Euthanasia.
I sat there, I swear, I was on the table, you know, where you sit, and I'm thinking, and then it hit me. Oh, euthanasia, you know. So he didn't want to talk about it. But anyway, you know, I was thinking about all of this. And they have a, you know, pacemaker. I never really understood, but it's a very simple thing. A pacemaker is a little tiny thing that just slides under your skin. It's not like a big deal. Mm-hmm. And she said she wants to live a little longer and see what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I just thought that was so, I mean, that she chose that, you know. It just fascinates mm-hmm. me. And she's just so happy. Looking forward.
Did they install
to
a pacemaker in her? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, they put a little pacemaker in her. I mean, I would think for most people, when your heart's slowing down, almost ready to stop, it would just be the end.
Well,
but her son was sitting with her, and he asked her, you know, and she said, "Oh no, I want a pacemaker. I want to see more of this." And she's just so happy. You know, I've been thinking so much about her. I've never seen her mad. Ever. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of, I don't know if you've had too many experiences visiting, you know, the elderly, but a lot of times it can be a little sad. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they hang, and it's permeated with loneliness. Mm-hmm. Not her. She's very delightful to go visit.
Mm.
Like, I kind of want to stay, and then she'll say, well, you know, I think it's time for you to go now, because then I know she just wants to get back into her New York Times. You know, she's clipping articles, and heaven forbid you're there when Judge Judy comes on. You know, you can't say a word. And she's not terribly spiritual, but she's very present moment. Man, I just find her so fascinating because, you know, like, what would I do if I were 100 and my heart was stopping? What would I choose?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, where do you let go of the body? Because her body certainly isn't up to her mind.
Mm-hmm,
but her mind is just so delightful. She's so happy.
Wow.
Present time.
Yeah, the present time.
I just thought I'd throw that out there because, you know, I don't know if I'll ever have this experience again, you know, with someone that.
Well, thank you for sharing. I met someone over the summer? I can't remember exactly when it was. It was within the past year. A friend of mine was traveling with him, and we all met up in Hoboken because they were in the city, and they were traveling together just as friends, and he is... He's probably like 96 or 97 now, maybe 98, and you'd never know. You know, totally walking around, funny, happy, you know, totally alert, and you'd never know his age. And he actually isn't really a spiritual person either, and I felt very compelled. I wanted to just, you know, start asking him a million questions about his mindset,
right.
But I wonder if it's that present moment piece also, just totally
being in
the now.
That's what she's present moment. Mm-hmm. You know, we buried her daughter last May, who was 69.
Mm-hmm.
And,
wow.
I mean, she doesn't talk about it, mm-hmm. only pleasantly, but, I mean, it's, you know, she just stays in the present. So,
wow.
She's always been like that ever since I've known her.
Hmm.
The thing is, spirituality is different. Well, not different, but it expresses itself in so many different ways. So,
well, that's true. Right.
Outwardly someone might not appear to be spiritual, people really are. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Thank you, DJ.
Right.
That's really important, I think.
My husband was a wonderful example of that. He just lived it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, right.
Awesome.
Yes,
thanks,
there's a light inside there, for sure.
Yes, absolutely.
Everyone
has
a light inside them, even if you can't see it.
And when you can see it, it's because you're in touch with your own.
Yeah.
So it's one of those nights when we're doing lots of talking, and which is totally fine. And we've only read one paragraph so far, which is kind of funny. But actually, there's not much more to this section, so I'm thinking we'll still finish it off tonight. So how about we turn back and let's read another paragraph. So, okay, I'm just going to read the previous sentence that we just ended with. This is exactly what the ego does. It is totally unpredictable in its responses because it has no idea of what it perceives.
So next paragraph. If one has no idea of what is happening, how appropriately can, bless you. If one has no idea of what is happening, how appropriately can you expect him to react? You might still ask yourself, regardless of how you can account for the reactions, whether they place the ego in a very sound position as the guide for yours. It seems absurd to have emphasized repeatedly that the ego's qualifications as a guide are singularly unfortunate and that it is a remarkably poor choice as a teacher of salvation. Yet this question, ridiculous as it seems, is really the crucial issue in the whole separation fantasy. Anyone who elects a totally insane guide must be totally insane himself. So this almost reminds me back to Paulo, and you were saying the control piece. even though, you know, we can see the ego perhaps as a totally insane guide, the ego is, our choice for the ego is the whole, how it says, crucial issue in the whole separation fantasy. So it's because of our believing in the ego that we seem to be separate bodies in this separate world. So again, that insane, that tiny, mad idea is the source of the whole separation fantasy. So our recognition of our own insanity is our way out.
Yeah, and the fact is we are choosing. We are choosing in every moment.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yes, absolutely. Moment to moment.
And,
every single moment.
With the recognition of that, after that experience the other day, you know, where we get this email and say, well, you can no longer park there. You know, I no longer try to just pour pink paint over these situations. I'm allowing myself to process through it.
Mm-hmm.
And the recognition that I was doing this to myself,
mm-hmm,
was huge to me. And I got over, the effect it had on me was really released. I feel rather rapidly, because by the next day I was fine.
Awesome.
I didn't write any letters. I didn't do anything. I really processed it with the Holy Spirit.
And that's the way.
And
I
to
love
me,
how you
that,
put that.
Yeah, because I'm not ashamed of my reactions anymore. You know, at one time I would reprimand myself for my reaction.
Mm-hmm.
If you're mad, mm-hmm, express it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's lovely if you don't, but I'm not going to dump it on the world, but
right,
I'm not going to ignore it anymore, you know, because it just gets buried deeper and deeper.
You're absolutely
so
right. You do have to
processing
you
through
that.
It,
mm-hmm,
allowing it, loving yourself regardless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you really can't give a rip about what anybody else thinks.
Right, right. I just wrote a blog post about a very, you know, different form of a situation, but the exact same lesson, where I was upset with a family member because we have a pattern on the phone where I end up feeling not listened to and not heard. And it finally, I thought I was looking at it with the Holy Spirit all along, but inside my frustration was building till it happened again. And I was just like, ah! And I got off the phone before I felt myself like I was going to attack. And when I was off the phone with this person, I was like, all right, there's no way I'm getting still. Like, I cannot get still or quiet with the Holy Spirit right now. I need to go through this. And I literally felt myself grab the Holy Spirit's hand and call this person back. And I was totally willing to go through my reaction with the Holy Spirit, or bringing it to the Holy Spirit right after. And the only way through it is through it. It was that I literally, just like you said, Paula, you put it so eloquently with processing through it. I had to go through that experience, but I brought the Holy Spirit with me. I gave it to the Holy Spirit after the fact.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'm not so afraid to go through it anymore,
yeah,
because I
yeah,
know the
beautiful
Holy Spirit is accessible in every moment. And mm-hmm. if I want to have my fit, I'm going to have my fit. And mm-hmm. the sooner I can get over that fit, the sooner I can be in contact with the Holy Spirit. But if I walk around trying to stuff it or look good or mm-hmm. wear that happy face when I'm not feeling happy, it doesn't work for me. It just doesn't work for me. You know, but again, I think this comes with processing with the Holy Spirit and with this material. Because
Absolutely.
You're not so afraid of your anger anymore.
Right,
because it's
right.
really, it's
you're developing trust. You just hit it. And I just want to highlight this for you because you said earlier something about, you know, like it's hard sometimes to trust. You nailed it. I love, again, that these calls are recorded because it's there. You said that you're no longer fearful to go through anything because you trust that the Holy Spirit is there, is going to be there. And that's everything, is that as we develop that trust, the fear falls away. We're allowing ourselves to go through our lessons, to learn even further. And your trust is building that, you know, the miracle will be there when you're ready to have it. So that was awesome.
And
I
it
love
is.
That you said that.
So,
it's
Corinne,
always
when you,
there.
When you called back, like you called your family member back, right?
Uh-huh.
So how did it, the Holy Spirit manifest itself? Like, was it a matter of listening more?
It was a matter of me going, like, I wouldn't say that the Holy Spirit manifested. I needed to, Corinne, my ego needed to say what my ego needed to say, and I didn't do it mean. Like, I just said, like, this is a pattern that isn't working for me. Like, you know, I'm really upset. So it wasn't that I felt like, you know, the Holy Spirit gave me amazing words to say or anything like that, because I needed to go through this experience. But the key is that when we hung up again, I had a ton of guilt come up. And actually, I'm just going to mention real quick, somebody just joined us, and I'm so glad that you did. I think I hear a little background noise, so if anybody has background noise, you can always mute your line by pressing *6, and then you can unmute again. Thank you so much. It sounded like a cute little bird in the background, maybe. But anyway, So I said what I needed to say in as gentle of a way as possible, but when we got off the phone, I still felt horribly guilty that I could have upset this person, even in the slightest bit. And there is when I said, okay, so my ego wants to fix this guilt by calling this person back and having this person tell me that they're not mad at me, that everything's okay, that it was good that I said what I said. That was my ego wanting to fix it. Instead of going down that path, I knew that the guilt that I was feeling was a reflection of the unconscious guilt that I have in my mind. So what I did instead of fixing the guilt by calling the person, I sat on my couch. Because I got out what I needed to say, then I could get quiet. And I looked, I said, I'm not moving. I'm looking at this guilt with the Holy Spirit, and I am not moving until I feel peace again. And I sat there probably, I don't think it was that long, maybe 5 minutes or so, and I felt that guilt literally fizzle away. So it just evaporated. And so that felt to me like more of a healing than just staying on a more ego, you know, level and trying to just get that person to get my guilt to go away. Does that make sense?
Oh,
yeah.
I think it makes total sense.
Yeah, so that's where the Holy Spirit came in. I needed to go through my ego, you know, experience, but I was wholly willing to bring the entire thing to the Holy Spirit, you know, during and after, really.
So, and also, I think what you did there also, Corinne, is you made the choice mm-hmm. for peace, mm-hmm. and that's where it all stems from.
Right, right.
If you hadn't made the choice, because really getting the approval outside of yourself doesn't do anything.
But the choice for peace, I would just add in this case, my choice for peace was my choice for the Holy Spirit, because I could have chosen for peace and said, I'm not going to say anything. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I'm going to stuff my feelings, or I'm not going to, you know, go down the road of conflict. So just to clarify, I love how you're saying that it was a choice for peace, and it was, but it was a choice. The way that I sort of, to put it in my own words, that choice for peace was the choice for for the Holy Spirit to.
Let me just clarify what I meant, though.
Yeah, sure,
cause,
please.
Cause you had said that you wanted to talk to the other person in the beginning.
Uh huh.
And have them reassure you that what.
Yep.
And that was what
gotcha.
I was talking about.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah.
That was absolutely 100% a choice for peace.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Let's read another paragraph. Actually, maybe I'll do two at a time, and then we'll be all done. Okay. It is not true that you do not know the guide is insane. You know it because I know it, and you have judged it by the same standard as I have. The ego literally lives on borrowed time, and its days are numbered. Do not fear the last judgment, but welcome it, and do not wait, for the ego's time is borrowed from your eternity. This is the second coming, which was made for you as the first was created. The second coming is merely the return of sense. Can this possibly be fearful? What can be fearful but fantasy? And no one turns to fantasy unless he despairs of finding satisfaction in reality. Yet it is certain that he will never find satisfaction in fantasy, so that his only hope is to change his mind about reality. Only if the decision that reality is fearful is wrong can God be right. And I assure you that God is right. Be glad then that you have been wrong. But this was only because you did not know who you were. Had you remembered, you could no more have been wrong than God can. The impossible can happen only in fantasy. When you search for realities in fantasy, you will not find it. The symbols of fantasy are of the ego, and of these you will find many. But do not look for meaning in them. They have no more meaning than the fantasies into which they are woven.
Corinne, what would an example of fantasy be?
An example of fantasy. If anybody has one off the top of your head, please jump in. But, you know, this whole world is a fantasy. This whole world is a fantasy, a part that we can be something separate from God. So
I know the classic fantasy, like, is that people will think that there's one, you know, human being in the ego that will meet all their needs,
mm-hmm.
in all ways, you know, all the movies,
absolutely.
The books with that story, the Cinderella syndrome.
Yeah, yeah.
Perfect person.
Absolutely.
You know.
Oh, that
and
really
that,
clarifies
that.
It.
Yeah, it does, and that, you know, taking that Cinderella story and taking that to, like, the broadest level, you know, it's again, going back to that, Dieter, you brought it up, my salvation comes from me, that we have a belief here that we can find something that will give us that same, we're looking for God here, we're looking, you know, so we think it's going to be another person or a better house, you know, we're looking for something outside of ourselves to fill it when what we're looking for is to be filled with God.
And you know what someone else I heard point out once, when people, you know, that portion, that phase in that love thing where people are truly in love, you know, and they're like in that high point of that love for that other person,
mm-hmm.
that's their true selves. That person, you know, they're at their best, they feel
mm-hmm.
so happy. That's their true selves, but it just can't be sustained because of the ego.
Nice. Yeah, it can't be sustained if we're thinking that the cause of that love or that happiness is something without.
Right. That they see the complete beauty in the other person. Just like you just said, like it's like the other person is like a god.
Mm-hmm.
But it can't be sustained in the ego.
Right, because it's not, that person isn't, well, the person on the broad
right.
sense is, but.
But it's like a paradox, but it is
right.
true at that moment, that is the true person.
Yeah, yeah, cool, I like that.
I have a question.
Sure.
The paragraph that we just read references the second coming,
mm-hmm.
and I just, like, from A Course in Miracles perspective, I've always I felt immediately connected when I started studying the Course that, like, the Christ mind is literally returning, in a sense, to our mind and healing our mind. So is this what the Course is talking about?
Yeah, the Christ mind is definitely, you know, when it says the second coming is merely the return of sense. You know what, let's read the next paragraph because it's going to, I think, answer your question.
Okay.
Fairy tales can be pleasant or fearful, pretty or ugly, but no one calls them true. Children may believe them, and so, for a while, the tales are true for them. Yet when reality dawns, the fantasies are gone. Reality has not gone in the meanwhile. The second coming is the awareness of reality, not its return. Behold, my children, reality is here. It belongs to you and me and God, and is perfectly satisfying to all of us. Only this awareness heals, because it is the awareness of truth.
Oh, my God, that is so wonderful.
Isn't that beautiful? So, Deidre, what you just said made me think of that sentence, the second coming is the awareness of reality, not its return. So it hasn't gone anywhere. We're just not aware of it. So the second coming
right.
is that, well, we are aware of it again. We fully recognize it again. That,
right, and that's sort of what I was getting at, but I just meant, like, from a biblical perspective, in my past religious schooling and whatever, the from a Bible standpoint, people always used to talk about the return of Christ as if Christ went somewhere and was going to come back. So that's where I was getting that from.
Yeah, that's perfect. It's pretty funny, right? I love how, you know, just that when you said that, just a few of us started laughing, just seeing the humor, like Christ didn't go anywhere. Like, that's so true, so...
You know, and reality, there's nothing wrong in reality.
Mm-mm.
There's no problem in reality.
Mm-mm. Nope.
It the truth about us is we're healed. We're home.
Yeah, we are. We just haven't accepted it yet.
Yeah.
We just.
But the ego is that unreality that's trying to convince us otherwise constantly.
That we've, yeah, because we've put our belief into it. It has no power in and of itself. It's simply
we choose it.
We breathe that life into it based on our choice.
Ah,
our belief.
Darn it.
Darn it, what darn it?
I'm doing this to me.
Damn it.
Darn it.
I want it to be their fault.
Stop it. Cut it out.
Oh. What else has come up for you? Any comments, questions, stories, examples, insights?
I just wanted to say that this call has been so helpful for me because my sister just broke up with her partner of 12 years and her ego is like on fire right now. Like her whole world has been ripped from beneath her and she this has just been helpful for me to kind of be there for her and I've gotten like good insight and like I feel centered now to be there for her and to like bring this light to her, you know, to help get her through this.
Yeah.
So thank you all.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Anything coming up for you with what we just read?
I just wish I could remember it in every moment.
You are.
So
you're living
fabulous.
This. I know you are living this. And so there's that trust in just, again, allowing yourself to go through, to process through it, process through every day, every moment. And when we remember, you know, even if we've totally forgotten about the Holy Spirit again, it's that moment that we choose once again because we can forget about the Holy Spirit again and again and again and again, and in that one moment when we choose for the Holy Spirit, that's where, remember that line of page 90, All the Consequences of My Wrong Decision.
Oh, my God, I haven't read it in a while. No wonder.
So
no wonder
like,
I'm off.
Paula,
it's,
I actually, on my page 90 in my book, I years ago I wrote your name, Paula, because you're always talking about page 90, and it's still there, and I wanted to remember, oh, which is that page Paula's always talking about? So I just put your name right on it.
I must have decided wrongly. Oh, my God.
I am not at peace.
It applies to everything.
There is just
nothing it doesn't apply to.
Yeah.
Any uncomfortable situation we are in, we must have decided wrongly. I just that blows my mind. It really does.
And I like the part where the Holy Spirit will undo the consequences.
Because
if you have the insight, I always think, well, yeah, but now I have to pay the price.
Right.
That tells me I don't have to pay the price.
You
absolutely
don't have to pay the price. And isn't that beautiful? And isn't that what Jesus is all about? You don't have to pay the price.
And if you think about, too, with, you know, the consequences being undone, if we forget about the Holy Spirit and then forget and then forget and then forget, and let's say there's like 5 or 10 or 20 times that we've forgotten, that one instant that we remember the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that now we have to try to remember, you know, 19 or 20 more times to cancel out all the other times we forgot.
Right.
It's just that one time that we remember that undoes all of those other times of having forgotten. So.
Yes, I've always noticed that one beautiful moment where you see the truth and you're happy and guiltless just seems to eradicate days and weeks of, almost, you can almost feel that a happy moment is eternal.
Yeah, yes.
You know, it just seems so much more profound. It has so much more weight than a bad moment.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful.
I just wanted to say, I thank you guys really much, very, very much. This is Angela.
Hi, Angela.
I've missed you. I've really been struggling something crazy.
Hi, Angela.
Hi. It's lovely to hear your voices. And, you know, I hesitated on saying anything tonight, but I really felt like, okay, I just had to say, okay, I'm sitting, I'm listening, and I'm trying to learn instead of blah, blah, blah. and it's nice to know that no matter how many times, you know, you don't choose for the Holy Spirit, but in that instant, you choose for the Holy Spirit. It's not like you had to, like, just hearing, it's not like you have to choose 20 more times before something can happen in the instant.
Right. It just takes once. So we can allow ourselves to be exactly where we are and go through our lessons because we can trust that the Holy Spirit is there.
Absolutely.
It's going to be there. I love how you said that earlier, Paula. Angela, thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Thank
have
you, everyone.
Wonderful
We're at
week.
The top of our hour. Mm-hmm. Yes, have a great week, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Bye,
everyone.
Thank you.
Bye, Bob.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.